I like to play me latest chart topper. It's called Me Fans Are Stupid Pigs.
The following training video contains performances by highly trained professional criminals.
I think the message to psychos, fanatics, murderers, nutcases all over the world is do not mess with suburbanites because, frankly, we're just not going to take it anymore.
What are you doing out in the middle of nowhere?
Well, I had to get that there crossroads last midnight. Sell my soul to the devil.
What did the devil give you for your soul, Tommy?
Well, he taught me to play this here guitar real good.
Podcasting live from the Nut House basement, down by the river, across the street from the water treatment plant in lovely Lawrence, Kansas. You are listening to Sunglasses After Dark. My name is Nick. Now, you may have noticed that despite my promise to the contrary there that there would be a regular podcast, there wasn't one last week. Well, that had a lot to do with the fact that this past weekend, my wife and I went to Chicago to attend the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo, better known as C2E2. This was the sixth year for C2E2, and it was the first time my wife and I, or even myself really, have attended a large con. Like, I've been to quite a few here in Kansas City and Lawrence and just, record conventions and things of that nature. And, you know, even this recent year's Planet Comic Con was a pretty big deal, but, like, never anything quite on the scale of C2E2. Now, it was a blast and a fucking half. And if you've been following the blog over at Rockstar Journalist, you've seen some of the interviews I've posted with Tom Brazelton of Theater Hopper about the end of his comic, with Joe Maddalena about the program Hollywood Treasures. It's been a lot of fun. Now, I also got a lot of interviews that don't necessarily stand so well on their own. They're either short or it's kind of hard to feature them in that there's not anything to really tie them to. The Joe Maddalena interview is tied to the auction of all the Captain America stuff, and Tom Brazelton, it's tied to the end of Theater Hopper. So I've got like three interviews that I haven't run anywhere else that'll be part of the podcast this week. And I'll intro them and I'll explain sort of the context in which they were taken. But let's get it started with the music. We're going to start it off with from their 10-inch Oh Joy, with cover art by John Krakalfuski, no less. This is the Shitbirds with Oh Joy.
Tell me how you feel and what I have to do.
from a 7-inch that accompanied the Patty Duke fanzine that was Gays with a version of Patty Duke's Whenever She Holds You. If you've read the book Hollywood Hi-Fi, you know a little bit about the Patty Duke recordings in that she couldn't sing, she didn't want to do it, and she was sort of made to make the several albums that she put out. Somehow they have a warm place in the heart for some of that 90s female-fronted underground bands like Gays or Cub or Buck specifically, who were on another band on that compilation. It's on gorgeous marble pink vinyl, and it is a fantastic, fantastic little comp. And the zine that comes with it is also just it's fun as hell, and highly, highly recommended if you can track down a copy. Before that, Poppets did Poolside Fun at Michael's from their 1+1=2 single out now on Windy and Records. Oh, that is gorgeous, gorgeous. Just, it's pop. It's pure garage pop, and I love it, and it's fantastic. And really, you should just go to windyandrecords.com and just fucking buy everything they put out. You'll be happier for having done it. Yeah. So, and we started everything off with Shitbirds doing Oh Joy from their Oh Joy 10-inch, which is surprisingly hard to find. It's interesting. It comes with a piece of tape from the actual recording sessions. So if you find the other, like, 10,000 pieces of tape, you can have the original master tapes to that album. All right, so this first interview I've got is an interview with three Chicago teachers, and I was standing at the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund booth and just sort of browsing the stuff they had for sale that benefits the CB LDF, which basically they go to, they're sort of like a ACLU for strictly for comic books, where they help defend comic book stores and artists and things like that in First Amendment cases and things like that. So I was standing looking at all the stuff they had for sale for benefit, and I heard these three teachers discussing sort of what things they can and can't talk about and what things they can and can't cover in their classrooms. And so they were kind enough to hop on the mic for me, and we talked about teaching comic books and things like that. And I think it's a very illuminating interview, and it was actually the most satisfying one that I had while I was there, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And after that, we'll be back with some music from Up the Academy. So enjoy. Cool. So if you guys could just like state your names for the record and like what subjects you teach and like what school district, I guess.
I'm Ronell Whitaker. I teach English, freshman English, at I don't know where I work. Eisenhower High School. It's in Blue Island. It's District 218.
I'm Russell Golden. I'm also an English teacher, but I taught senior English. I know I am now currently in grad school to be a librarian, and I don't have a job right now.
My name is Luke Pizik, and I also teach freshman English at Eisenhower, District 218.
Okay, so you guys have been kind of talking about sort of the difficulty of, like, wanting to give kids comics, which I, having a kid of my own, I know that's, like, the easiest way to get them to read. They'll just pour through it. But I guess there are issues. You're talking about, specifically about Craig Thompson's, like, Blankets and Habibi and how their sort of material problem.
Some of the sexual situations in those books might be a little bit, they might be objected to by the parents in our district. I actually got in trouble for trying to teach Of Mice and Men to one girl. She didn't want, her parents didn't want her to read it. So that, and that's Steinbeck, that's canon. So I know that if I tried to give her, you know, something like Habibi, we definitely have an issue there. So it's been kind of a struggle trying to find books that were safe. Right now, both of us, me and Luke, are teaching a book called American Born Chinese by Gene Yang, and that's been going over great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult, too, because it's always, it's finding, as an English teacher in general, it's just an issue with all types of books, because the kinds of stuff that you read versus the stuff that you can give the kids, they don't often cross. You know, and even when it does come to comics, just because I find myself reading more things that are, you know, are just, they're not necessarily appropriate for every 16-year-old kid.
Transmetropolitan or exactly. Preacher is right. Not going to fly exactly. With most kids.
Right. But those are easy. That's a slam dunk. There are some that are more, like, you know, more on the line.
Mouse, for instance.
Yeah. We teach mouse.
Mouse is actually mouse. No problem.
Yeah.
Really?
Which is very interesting. It's like, when you talk about, like, what you can teach, what you can't teach, it seems as if a white guy wrote it about 50 years ago, regardless of what's in it, it's totally okay. Whereas if
he has to be dead. Right?
Yeah, generally, yeah. It's usually a good idea if he's dead. But if it's anyone, you know, of, race, gender, that doesn't conform to that white literature, that white normative literature, then we start having challenges to it. I actually had to edit Frankenstein's Womb. I decided to use it as like a preview to Frankenstein for my students.
Right.
Because it's basically comic book literary criticism. Taking a new historicist approach to Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. It was awesome. But because it was a reference to Lord Byron's homosexuality and the use of the F word,
yeah,
I had to edit out. Luckily, it was all just on one page. So I was able to edit it out, and it didn't actually affect the story at all as told. But at the same time, it was that idea of, well, you know, we're not really sure if kids are ready to understand that homosexuals contribute positively to our society and culture, which is really annoying.
Now, are there any books specifically that are just, like, easy go-to books that you found that sort of get kids in without having to go through the editing process, I guess?
Well, so far what's a part of our curriculum now is Ultimate Spider-Man number 1, comics, you know, volume 1. Mouse, that's an easy one. American-born Chinese has become that as well.
Yeah.
What I found, I just ordered a bunch of books. We ordered some of the Classics Illustrated books.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
Which are very easy to kind of pull kids into. And No Fear Shakespeare has started a graphic novel line as well.
Oh, yeah, I just saw those. Yeah, those are really recent, aren't they?
So those are great, and those have been kind of easy to get past because it's Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Old dead white guys.
Old dead white guys.
Easy to get in.
Right.
The ones that are challenging are the ones that... one of the problems I've been seeing is because there is a visual component to it, it's easier for a parent to say, what's that?
And
then kind of be alarmed. And I understand that.
Yeah.
There are two books right now that I want to teach that I can't. One is called I Kill Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Because the girl uses a word. We can't use that. And another one is called Stitches.
Yes.
Which I've kind of had one of our esteemed bosses read, and he kind of was like, because there's a picture of anatomy that is purely clinical, but
it's anatomy.
And it is frustrating too, because there's so many books that you read that you know kids would love. Like the kids in our school would love Lock and Key. They would love Scott Pilgrim. They would
Beast
love
of Burden.
They would love Sweet Tooth.
They would really enjoy
and they would love Chew. And those are all like right kind of on the line where there's just a word here and there, and it's really frustrating that you can't.
And the violence.
Right, and very graphic.
They're okay with showing busted open entrails. Okay.
But, I mean, I think if there were more exposure to books like that, though, I can see parents... I think the reason that we say they're okay with this is because we haven't exposed it to them. If we started sending home Chew, I know those books would come back with... But I agree that the language and any sexual component is going to raise way more flags than violence.
Well, hey, guys, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. now, baby. Oh no, you give me shivers now, baby. Yeah, yeah, I can't deliver now, baby. Oh no, you give me shivers now, baby. Yeah, yeah, I might not get a second chance, so I'll just give up on romance. I know I might seem out of touch, but your love is just too much. What will it take for you to see I'm not the man you want me to be? You give me shivers now, baby. Oh no, you give me shivers now, baby. Yeah, yeah, I can't deliver now, baby. Oh no, you give me shivers now, baby.
B-side to their Your Touch single. That's a British import. That was the Black Keys with a live version of The Breaks. Somebody on the not pop punk message board, the Vinyl Collective message board was selling a bunch of Black Keys singles, and so I bought them because they were cheap. And you'll be hearing a lot of those, specifically the B-sides, which are kind of more interesting than, you know, you've heard the A-sides. That live version of The Breaks is pretty badass. Before that, from his new album on Douchemaster Records, that was Gentleman Jesse with You Give Me Shivers. That album is entitled Leaving Atlanta, and it's available now. You can find it at Douchemaster's website and at finer record stores all over the place. And we started everything off with Up the Academy doing Gimme Gimme from their new single on Replay Records. That is out of Lawrence, Kansas. Up the Academy features Ron Miller, also known as one of the men who, one of the pink monkey birds, let's say, who play with Kid Congo Powers, and he and his partner also run the Harveyville Project in Harveyville, Kansas, which is sort of an artist retreat in an old high school out in the middle of Kansas, and it's a fantastic thing. And before that, you heard an interview we conducted with some Chicago teachers about the teaching of graphic novels and comics in English classes. I thought that was fantastic. We've got another interview here. This is a brand new company that we're talking about here, Black Action Tees. It is it had its debut at the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo, and we talked with their founder and proprietor about the sort of philosophy behind the company and the t-shirts they offer. You can get a Black Dynamite t-shirt, you can get a Black Vulcan t-shirt, you can get a Black America or Latino or Latin America shirt. It's fantastic stuff, and the art and printing on these shirts are just ultra high quality, and it's sort of interesting to hear how this all came about. And then we'll be back with some music from the Teen Idols, so enjoy. All right, for the record, could you state your name?
Jeff Kane of Black Action Tees.
Now, when I came by yesterday, your wife had said that you kind of started this because there was you had wanted a Black Vulcan t-shirt and couldn't find one.
Yeah, it kind of all started. I'm a collector of action figures and the close relationship or tees, comics, that sort of thing. And Black Vulcan was like that was my childhood hero. And I was like, wow, that would be cool to have a Black Vulcan t-shirt. And I went out, did a Google search, nothing came back, no eBay. Not even on like Zazzle or Cafe. It's just like, are you serious? It's like,
not even on Cafe Press, really?
No, it was like, wow. No Black Vulcan at all. So it was like, you know what? Okay, I'll make one. In fact, this is my artist right here, Terry, that I ended up designing him for. So that was kind of how this whole thing started. Was like, it would be cool if I had a Black Vulcan t-shirt. Couldn't find one, so decided to make one.
And it's kind of like an interesting variety of stuff you've got here in the booth, because uh-huh. you've got the Afropic Stormtrooper, uh-huh. and
Darth
the
Vader.
Black Dynamite,
uh-huh.
Bishop.
Uh-huh.
It's.
My thing is the Black Action Tees. The Black donates kind of like retro or old school, funky. But then to give like homage to little known characters that, people either forgot about or, show enough, or just put a twist on, what's already out there. Like you said, a trooper with an afro or Darth Vader with an afro, Latin America, the twist on, Captain America, Black America, old school retro football, basketball game.
I saw the football thing. That's fantastic.
Yeah, old school stuff that people, it's like comfort t-shirts, I guess you could
comfort think of t-shirts. That's a fantastic way of putting it.
Yeah.
Now, what's the reception? Like, what sort of folks?
It's been a cross section of people that have purchased so far this weekend. This is my very first outing and endeavor. Yesterday was my first day, but so far it's been a real positive response. Sold decently so far. So
this is a very new business.
Like I said, it's been wrapping up for, a year, but the actual sales, this is the very first.
This is sort of like the debut.
Yeah, the inaugural, yep, exactly.
Well, it's fantastic, and I really like the stuff you've got going on, and I'll make sure and put this interview up, and I'll send you a link.
Cool, okay, I appreciate it.
Potential 10,000. 1,000% of the American record-buying market. Needless to say, in the spirit of giving the people what they want, as well as setting us up for a lifetime of drinking malts and making out with riot drills and shameless slacker luxury, we, Horace the Sprinkler, have written a song that touches upon both drugs and masturbation. Believe it or not, folks, we call the song Drugs and Masturbation. And it begins as follows. Cause other people are not like me, and I don't like to very much. When to see the thicker, to talk about me sticker. They warn me about self-abuse, send my tools with thick motives. He offered me a bottle, I'm holding out for forever. I don't need his whiskey or his holes, I can't sleep on the angle. So I'm with drugs and masturbation, drugs and masturbation, drugs and masturbation. For me! Drugs and masturbation, drugs and masturbation, drugs and masturbation. For me! That big guy tried to hug me, I don't want to take the fuck with. From the spots and the guys from wonders, I'd rather get stoned and jerked. Cause when I see them colors, then I don't need no others. I in my bedroom, I ain't never for funny and find nobody as yet. Drugs and masturbation, drugs and masturbation, drugs and masturbation for me. Drugs and masturbation, drugs and masturbation, drugs and masturbation for me.
Judge cry,
only a lie.
From their self-titled 10-inch EP, that was Oingo Boingo doing Only a Lad. Fine song. Fine song. Really, dig deep into the Oingo Boingo discography and you will find many, many, many songs that you enjoy that never made it as hits. Before that, you heard Boris the Sprinkler doing Drugs and Masturbation, the extended Pacific Northwest hit novelty single version. That is a single on Mutant Pop Records. It's a very interesting. I love Boris the Sprinkler. Trying to collect all of their music is an exercise in futility, but I still try. And before that, Teen Idols did 20 Below, which is from their side of the It Found a Voice split with Japan's Spread. And before that, an interview with the founder of Black Action Tees. You can find him on Facebook by searching for Black Action Tees, and we'll put a link up on the blog, and I think there's actually already a link up on the blog, probably in the cosplay picture linky thingy, but we'll put one up in the show notes. We've got another, the final interview from C2E2 that we've got run. It's a woman you know, but you don't know you know her. Her name is Lisa Marie, and she has at various times wrestled for the WWE as Victoria. She's wrestled for, and she's currently wrestling for TNA under the name of Tara. Now, it was interesting to speak with her. I had no idea that she would be there, and we were walking the convention floor, and there's this section, sort of like a mini tattoo festival, which is sort of like how tattoos and art tie into the whole comics thing. And Jerry the King Lawler was supposed to be there, and I never saw him, but Victoria was, Lisa Marie, her real name. And we had a brief little discussion with her about her time in wrestling and her time with TNA and how that compares to WWE, as well as the restaurant she is looking to open in Chicago. So enjoy our interview with Miss Lisa Marie, and we'll be back after that with the last set of music, starting out with something from the Insaints.
Yeah, I thought you said you were talking to Murphy Chicago.
Okay. We're speaking with Tara,
A.K.A. Victoria,
A.K.A. Lisa Marie,
yes,
longtime professional wrestler.
Yep, 12 years.
And so, what are you? You're with TNA now.
I still am, yes, and it's been my third year, and it's been going great. I haven't been on TV in the last month and a half, so no storyline right there. So I'm kind of itching to get that belt around my waist again. So. Kind of getting frustrated, so. But I'm leaving Monday to go to TV, and we'll see what they have for me.
No, I've heard from several other wrestlers that sort of the appeal of TNA is that there's sort of a, it's based out of one location down there.
That's a perk. We really like how we're like in one location, and we get to stay in the same hotel all the time, and not live out of the suitcase. You know what I mean? We can
right.
actually unpack. But I do miss going to other venues. I'm going to be completely right. honest. And it's just a different crowd every time. Because I think a lot of people are recognizing our fans that are in the audience as well
right.
when you're watching it. But it's easy on the travel. It is. And it's less on the road. For me, I don't travel so much as I did in WWE.
Right.
So
TNA does do some occasional
shows
elsewhere, but not nearly to the extent, obviously,
not the extreme
the
WWE. As WWE. That was nonstop four to 5 days a week.
And you're based out of Chicago?
I am. I live in near DePaul area, and I'm opening a restaurant soon.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I was kind of curious as to what that is.
Oh, it's going to be comfort food. Nice. It's not going to be so much diet food. A lot of people think I eat such a healthy lifestyle, but no, I eat. But it's going to be around that location, and we're just looking for a spot. We're talking to two places, so I'm excited. I'm hoping to be open by the summer. Cross my fingers.
Now, you know? In addition to wrestling in the restaurant, do you have other things that you've got going on as well?
I'm really into rescuing animals and placing them. Yes, I love Paws Chicago and the Humane Society here in Chicago. So I always try to stop by and take a picture with a dog that they're trying to place and then tweet about it.
Does that help?
I don't know. In my mind, it makes me feel better that I'm helping at least. You know what I mean? I love animals. And just getting my bearings here in Chicago and trying to get involved in the community more.
Are you, you're new to the area then?
Well, I lived here for 5 years in the past, but I just moved here a year ago. So
after traveling around.
Well, I lived in Louisville before, okay. Kentucky, and now I'm back in Chicago. I'm a city girl at heart, I'll be honest with you, and I'm a foodie, and what a better place than Chicago, right?
Very much a melting pot in terms
of it's heaven.
Cuisine.
It is heaven.
I like the fact that it's one of the few places further north where you can actually still get really good Mexican food.
So. Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah, but see, I'm a California girl, so the Mexican food is a little bit hard to, you know, to follow from there.
Wonderful. So what hopes do you have for your you said you're getting ready to go back on TV for...
I want to go against Gail Kim. She has the belt right now, and she's... at pay-per-view on Sunday. I'm not there. I'll be here at C2E2. And I'll be honest, I'm a little jealous that she has that. And I miss it. And I just want it to come back to me. I really am. That's my focus right now.
Great. Well, thank you very much
thank
for taking
you.
The time to speak.
From Lisa Pig, with regards to Lenny K, things that got way out of hand. This time it's got to answer by these killer incredible, 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 by these killer incredible. I took her to the job and she didn't wanna see rock and roll high school. Said she'd rather go to see Lenny K. I just could not believe it. Thought I was on something. I don't know. Somebody please kill Lenny K. Here's a letter to Lenny K. From anonymous me. What you begging at and what you do? Cause somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. When you.
This feeling that I feel for you. Your real kind of love that makes me think that we could ever take the place of you. And it's so funny, funny what you do, honey, honey, what you do, what you mean to me. And you know, honey, honey, though it's so funny, funny that you mean all the world to me.
Split with the Donnas on Gearhead Records, which came with Gearhead Magazine. That was the Groovy Ghoulies doing Funny Funny.
Oh, such a great song. You can find all of that on the, I want to say, Running on Fumes compilation, put out by Gearhead Records. It collects all of those Gearhead magazine tracks. It's about one of the best garage comps, like punk garage punk, whatever you want to call it. Great stuff from the likes of Rocket from the Crypt, The Helicopters, Supercharger, I think, maybe. Definitely Southern Culture on the Skids and things like that, so do check it out. Before that, Scooby Don't did Somebody Please Kill Lenny Kravitz from their split with Boris the Sprinkler. I love that song. That's a song I didn't know about 2 weeks ago and now has rapidly become one of my favorites. And we started everything out with the Insaints doing Nyah 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 from their split with the Diesel Queens on Maximum Rock and Roll Records. It's a very short song. It is my favorite song on that comp. Or split. It's a double 7-inch. And they're very pretty and it's very well put together, but those songs are meh. But that song is a whole hell of a lot of fun. So, and we started everything off with an interview with Lisa Marie Veyron, better known as Victoria from the WWE, and Tara from TNA about stuff. You can find her online. You can follow her on Twitter at @RealLisaMarie. It was very nice speaking with her. And I'd like to thank everybody that took the time out of their busy C2E2 schedule to speak with us here at Rockstar Journalist and Sunglasses After Dark. And that does it for this week. We'll have some new music on next week's show from Sorry State Records, as well as a lot of stuff we picked up while we were in Chicago at Reckless, one of the finest record stores in the country, at least in my humble opinion, if you're looking for punk rock especially. As per usual, you can find this podcast each and every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time at Rockstar Journalist, which is where I blog about records and tapes and zines and books and all sorts of other tangible ephemera in our digital age. You can find me on Twitter at @NuthousePunks, where I tweet obsessively. And tell your friends to download and listen to the podcast. Tell your friends with bands and record labels that they should send me things for review. And until next week, thanks for listening.